Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Michelle McGrate of the C24 Gallery in New York City. We're talking about the Nick Gentry exhibition they have going on until September 2nd, 2016.
So I showed with a gallery in Miami. Initially, that gallery found me through online social media stuff because I use that a lot to sort of circulate my work and spread it around. And then it was that way also that Emery's wife made found my work on Instagram, and she suggested it to Michelle, and they kind of worked together from there, and I just made the transition over from Miami. I mean, I still show with the gallery in Miami, but yeah, then we worked together on a group show here a couple of years ago.
And we sold a couple pieces from that show.
Cool.
It was in the summer, which is pretty good because that's like a slower time of year. So
Yeah,
so we sold a couple of Nick's pieces, and then we took his pieces to a couple art fairs, and we sold some more, and we just kept selling his work, and we were like, all right, we got to sign him.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome. So the weather's quite different from Florida to New York, right?
Right now, I don't know, just now it feels pretty like
100 degrees.
But different to London, that's for sure.
Yeah. Very cool. So Nick, I've been looking at your work and I love it, and I think it's so creative. And I've heard about using found objects for sculptures, but I've never heard of it for paintings. And I think that's awesome how you do it. What kind of stuff do you use
for my materials?
Right.
So the materials is kind of a key part of what I do, really. So I find that the materials are kind of the more interesting part. I mean, I love to paint portraits, but these kind of things have got a lot of history and some sort of energy there, I think, because they've been used before. People have sort of cherished them at some point, but time has kind of affected them. They haven't changed in physical form, but the way we regard these objects changes over time, which is interesting, really, because the thing is exactly the same physically, but it's just sort of us that's changed in our relationship to these objects. So that sort of thing of obsolescence and time passing and history and memories, and I've always been fascinated in time as well. So it's kind of like this way of emotionally dealing with time. We all kind of hold on to things from the past, physical objects, also mentally. And it's part of just including that in the work. So things like film negatives are a visual kind of representation of memory and time. And more, for me, they're open, but there's a lot of ways you can kind of look at a film negative these days. It represents a lot of different things. So what I do is we all have them, somewhere locked away in an attic, or, we don't really think about them or regard them anymore. We just drive forward with things like new technology, iPhones. But these things are still there, so I like to use them in my work, so I encourage people to send them to me. And I really like that process of combining lots of different people together into one thing. Because I feel like we are all connected in some way. Which we forget easily. It's easy to forget that, but
I got a bunch of cassette tapes if you need them.
Have you? Oh, really? I haven't used them too much, actually. I find it's quite I remember winding them on, when it sort of, the reel comes out, you have to get a pencil out. This kind of stuff. I feel, they're kind of acute in a way, aren't they?
I've been holding on to them forever. I don't know why.
They're very humble, aren't they? So I haven't used them too much. I feel like it's quite a specific process of choosing materials. I need to really feel, that it's going to work on that level. So I'm being quite particular right now with the film negatives.
Right.
It allows me to explore, especially with this exhibition that we've got now at the gallery, this whole concept of light and dark, which really lends itself well to the materials.
So do you, what is your process of, finding these found objects? Do you, this piece needs, a CD thing or, a film negative? And do you actively hunt for that, or do you find it and be like, oh, I could use that in this painting, or I could create a painting out of using this? I mean, how does that process work?
Yeah, definitely a bit of both. There's a sort of logical side to it where I'm actively seeking a certain type of thing for a certain project. But then once in the studio, I'm starting to organize it into different areas. So I organize like the film negatives, for example, like light to dark, and then there's like a drawer which says like interesting on it, and then different types of shapes and things, all ordered in sections. But then that allows me to be more intuitive in my actual process of creating the portraits of the work. So it's kind of to and fro, back and forth from this logical thing, sort of methodical way of working, which then allows a flow and a sort of more intuitive way of working. And I think for me, I feel comfortable working like that, and it sort of makes the piece more rounded.
Right.
I'm definitely trying to develop that intuitive side of my work and that freedom, you know, within the work, you know, more expression and emotion. But to do that, I need the kind of logical sort of side of it where I'm developing this process.
And your paintings are great. I mean, they're like, if I put together like some CDs and stuff and some film negatives, it wouldn't look anything like yours. It would look really campy. And I mean, but you can make actual like really good sculpture. I mean, good paintings out of them. And I just think that's so you're so talented.
Sorry, I missed that last bit. Yeah.
So yeah, I just think that it takes a great talent to do that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't know if it's talent or it's just something I've cultivated. I think it's talent's a funny one. I'm not sure. I feel really lucky to have been encouraged at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that contributed to it. So I've always sort of believed in myself, and
right,
you know, that had a lot of support around me for the sort of dream I had at a very young age. So I've been dedicated for a long time. So I think that helps.
Yes, that's important.
Yeah.
Cool. Sure. So why is this exhibition called Psychic Compound?
I started off just thinking of interesting words, things that sounded, you know, like that just meant something, you know, that this kind of like feeling invokes a feeling. So compound was the word I came up with first, and I just thought my works are like a compound in that it's sort of composite of things. It's, normally we think sort of scientifically the compound, it's like elements together.
Right.
And I quite like that aspect because it sort of added that technical nature of it. But also compound you could read in another way, whereas it's kind of like this enclosure, this sort of secured area. And that might have a sort of darker connotation in some way, actually, a compound side of it. Especially when you bring in psychic, because psychic is like of the soul and, you know, the mind and the soul coming together. And I put those two words together to create this kind of overall feeling. So psychic is kind of part of me merging my kind of psyche with the person in the portrait and all the other people that have contributed as well. So it's like this kind of mix, this merge of all of these different sorts of souls in a way, or spirits, or, you know, beings. And I like psychic's kind of just about accurate enough. I think I didn't want to be any more specific. It just gives enough of a clue as to what was going on. And it also alludes a little bit to the processes that I've been going through and changing the way I work with regards to composition. I've been using a lot of geometry and a combination with different shapes. So they were, sort of, to me, it was like bringing together two methods of composition, which to me was like a compound as well.
Yeah.
So generally, it's just kind of like this composite, this mix of things coming together.
Cool.
And also, it just sounded nice. At the end of the day, I just like the sound of it.
It sounds great, yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So I didn't want it to be prescriptive.
Right. Cool. So how did this? I mean, so this is your exhibition, Nick. These are your pieces. But like, how much of a collaborative effort was this? How much did like Michelle and Megan help out with this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, between us all, it's been a big team effort, and you know, I couldn't have done anything like this on my own. So yeah, I owe a lot to the gallery for the belief that they've shown in me as well. So, yeah, being here in New York and all the people that have helped set it up as well, I'm really grateful and appreciative for everyone's help. So, yeah, I consider myself just quite a small part of the bigger project that we've done here. And, you know, it starts as well. Each painting even starts with other people. I couldn't make these portraits without other people sending me their materials and the things that they once, you know, held and cherished in a way. And they've sort of contributed to all of this work from the very start. I mean, even these things were created before the portraits were even thought about. So, yeah, it's very much a sort of team, social. It's all about connections, really, between us, rather than any single person.
Cool. So, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. I noticed in the press release it said these materials sourced directly from individuals all over the world came together in one form. And I wasn't sure exactly what that meant, but you just mean that you got all of your materials from other individuals. They gave them to you.
Exactly, yeah. This is a sort of cyclical process. I mean, it starts maybe with other people sending me things, but then we go around again when they come to the exhibition or they see it online, and maybe I give a bit of encouragement, but they seem to fill the gaps and go, okay, well, I know what's working here, and then they send me more, and then I kind of create more portraits from that, and we just, I like to create this kind of positive circle between the viewer. I mean, I don't really consider the viewer just a viewer, I consider them really a part of the artwork. So we create this cycle that's kind of really inclusive, and everyone's involved, and everyone feels like they are part of the work. I mean, physically, mentally, you know, all of the ways you can get involved with the art, I want that to happen. I want it to be an open process. And also, when people do send me things, I send little gifts back to them as well, just to keep the whole cycle going.
Cool.
Yeah, it's great. And people from all over the world. This is inspiring for me because I arrive back in the studio after a trip to away here in New York. I get back to London and there's boxes there with, like, you know, materials in and personal stuff. And then, like, handwritten notes say, you know, all the best of the project and everything. Quite long written letters as well, which is amazing, really, which is a lot of inspiration to be found there.
Right. So I bet the people, like, I think it's great that you include everyone else in it too, that like the people who have contributed stuff can feel like a part of your stuff too, a part of your exhibition and your artwork. I think that's great.
Yeah, I think this is the way art is heading. And I think it hasn't headed this way because it's been elitist for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, a little bit like sometimes you would go into a gallery and you'd feel it's not so easy to make a connection with what you see on the wall.
Right.
Through the ages, there's been some amazing artwork, but I just think it's time for art to change as a whole. At least, and people demand it now, you know, the way we live. They want to be involved in the artwork, so I think that's a great thing, and I want to be a part of that movement.
Yeah, I think that's so great. I think that's great. So, do you ever have shows in England?
I do, yes. I've had some solo shows in London. And other parts of the UK. And in Europe as well. I show with a gallery here, a couple of galleries over there in Europe.
Cool. So that's awesome. So this is really great. Yeah, I really love these pieces. You're so creative.
So, oh, thanks. Well, I find actually America is the place like where I get the kind of where it really happens to me, actually, because
really?
I find there's a certain enthusiasm here. I mean, I do show with other galleries too, but I think it's here where there's more of a sort of thirst for contemporary, especially.
That's good to know. That's interesting.
I think here it feels like, you know, very natural, and I feel about it. I mean, it's good.
That's cool. Well, I also read that you used to leave your artwork on the street for people to find. So tell me about that.
I sort of miss in a way. There's a simplicity to it. It's really nice. And that's how I kind of started out. That was before I had any gallery representation. And I wanted to create my art. Yeah, there was a need to make it, really. But nowhere to kind of put it. At the time I was living in a really small flat in London. And I didn't have physical space to store this stuff. But I wanted to get my artwork out there.
Right.
I wanted to share it.
Yeah.
And so I gave it away. I just thought, you know, I wanted to give this artwork to people. I didn't want to force it on anyone.
Yeah.
But I just left it in the street, just hanging out on a, you know, on a rusty nail or, you know, on a ledge somewhere. And then people would take them home. And it was good because I'm giving something to other people and that felt good. But then they were sort of giving me something too. They were giving me belief that what I was doing was right and I was on the right path.
Right, yeah.
So it was a good thing to do, a really good two-way process. And I recommend it to any sort of young artist that are trying to get their work out there. Of course, like, social media is a good thing and I've been using that for a long time. But something about that physical as well, where you're actually getting it going.
Right, the physical pieces.
Yeah.
So did you ever, did you ever see the responses or did you just leave them there and
I was a bit shy. I think that helped build my confidence a bit because at that stage I was quite shy about even leaving it on the street. If people saw me, I felt very self-conscious about that. It's a bit weird thing to do.
Right.
But I had this, bag of little pictures and I just wandered around. So I sort of did it in this really awkward way. But I did, I just unzip the bag and I'll just leave it there and then kind of just wander off. I would look over my shoulder sometimes and I'd see it, they'd be gone. Like sometimes they'd be gone within a second, but sometimes they'd still be there and they might have just got swept up and thrown into like a trash, back of a trash car. But, I didn't mind too much. You know, it's kind of like the mystery of where they end up. It's quite interesting. But for me, it was just creating this flow where I was working. You know, I felt like then created some momentum, which was a nice springboard for me.
Yeah. So what inspires you?
I think everything. I mean, I know that's such a sort of vague answer, but I think generally that way since day one from me, I've always been very curious about the world, everything, you know, like questioning absolutely everything. Like at school, I think I drove the teachers mad because they would sort of deliver information, and I think I didn't take it in maybe as some of the other students because I would just literally question everything about why, and I wouldn't just accept the facts as they were given to me. I feel like I always want to explore the world and experience it in my own way. And so I just look at everything. I look at nature and I just ask why and how, and it all combines. So I think what happens is it takes a long time to generate any ideas for me. It takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an experience. I'll take it in and then it might be years later. So maybe that's why I'm using these old materials. They come out now to just kind of take a time, simmer away in the subconscious somewhere. And then wake up in the middle of the night with this idea. It's just something's happened there. So
yeah.
I think it's just a question of just being really open with the senses and just feeling the present moment and paying attention, but looking through this unique kind of lens of the world. I'm interested in certain things, but like technology is one of them. So it kind of flavours the experience of the world, but then it combines it into this new experience, this new inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, Michelle, what's the response been in New York to this exhibition?
I'm sorry?
What's the response been in New York to this exhibition?
Oh, great. We were still hanging the show, and we had the doors and the glass windows all, covered up, and people were still figuring out the doors were unlocked to the gallery, and they were coming in. And we were like, we're selling. And the guy's like, oh, how much is that one? I love it. And I was like, oh, okay. So we had a lot of that going on, actually, when we were installing Nick's show. It was really funny. So it's been a huge response. We had a great opening on Tuesday night. Packed. We had a lot of great curators and writers in attendance. Mm-hmm. So, it's been really well received.
Cool. I can imagine. So they look great.
Everyone can relate to them.
Yeah.
You know? So
I was going to say, everyone has something that's in the painting, I'm sure. It brings back some kind of memory.
Exactly.
So that's fantastic. So this exhibition, how long does it go on for?
Till September 2nd.
September 2nd.
Till right before Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that's right. I have it right here. Cool.
Yeah, so it just opened on Tuesday. So yeah. If anyone's in New York, come on by and see it.
So, Nick, how long are you going to be there for it? Are you going to be there for the whole thing?
Oh, the last couple of days, yeah, for me. I would stay for a lot longer if I could, but, yeah, holiday in Costa Rica and then back to New York.
Cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. Cool. So, well, thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day to join me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Michelle McGrate of the C24 Gallery and Nick Gentry for telling us about the Psychic Compound exhibition. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. And if you're in the New York City area, check out the gallery. They've always got a lot of great stuff going on. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E. Thanks for listening.
Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Enterprises media production.